Well, today is a special day of remembrance, and it's a good one. I believe we remember those who have died or been killed in wars that the United States has fought. And it's great to honor people who've given their lives for us. Remembering things in the past are things that can be very important. There are things you'd probably be better off just not remembering. If you dwell on past memories that are not giving you hope, well, then you're wasting your time on those memories. And most people, I think, what they do, who remember various things, whether it's good or bad from their childhood, you learn to just move on from it. And you learn that it's not productive to continue to think about what happened to you at school or by your parents, whatever it may be. You have to be able to move on. Memories generally are a pretty good thing. The holiday that we have, Memorial Day as it's called, it used to be Decoration Day, and that came really out of the Civil War, and then it came to be known as Memorial Day. When I was growing up, as much as I paid attention to these things, it was always on the 30th of May, and then it switched over by reason of the federal workers needed more three-day holidays, and so we then have Memorial Day weekend. So it's now the last Monday of every year. Now, it has kind of mixed reviews, like most things that are things of remembrance. It is good we remember those who have died. Most of you probably don't remember or maybe don't even know anyone who actually died in one of the wars, whether it's Korea or whether it's Vietnam or whether it's World War II. Most of us don't go back far enough to have known somebody who died in, World War I. I mean, I don't know anyone who died in World War I. Now, the thing about that, I think it's so important. You shouldn't feel bad about that, because memories are things that don't go on forever, and there are just certain things that we are going to forget, because we just don't have the interaction with it. You notice there I have that this holiday has also been used as a way of remembering your family. A lot of people who observe Memorial Day do remember all of their family members who happen to be buried in cemeteries in different places. And they go around and they straighten up the flowers, they clean it up. And it's not necessarily directly related to the Memorial Day holiday. And so that's also a nice thing. I can imagine, as you get a little bit older and people start dying around you and you feel responsible for cleaning up around their tombstone and the area, the grass, whatever it may be, because some people are buried in places where they're not always that kept up. So it's an amazing thing to me that people still do that. And again, it's mostly in the South where people do it. You see people here set up flags, and then sometimes there's parades, but we do have the three-day weekend. And unfortunately, and not because it's all their fault, you know, people treat it that way because time separates a lot of these events. I mean, the last time we were in a war that would be termed as something the nation is engaged in would be Vietnam, and that's been almost 50 years since that's ended. And so we forget. You may know someone who died in Vietnam, and you don't have to be very old to be in that place. But most of us don't remember these people. I mentioned before I had an uncle who died in World War II. I didn't know him at all. I mean, obviously, he died fairly young, and I wasn't born yet. And I really had no opportunity to get to know him. I do know that he's buried in Italy, because that's where he was killed. But I don't really know the guy. Right now, I can't even think of his name. And that's sort of an embarrassing thing to say, but there are just certain people. Here's the way you remember names. You know, we often talk about this whole issue of people say, I'm just not very good at names. You're good at names if you say the person's name over and over again. It's just that simple. You know, the reason why you know your children's names, most of us, is because you say their names. I know my grandchildren's names. I think that's pretty good. I don't know your grandchildren's names. My siblings have a whole host of them, and I have no idea who they are. I know people in the congregation, kids in the congregation, better than I do most of my relatives and their grandchildren. I just don't know who they are. Now, I think one of the things I noticed about differences between men and women, I think women tend to remember people's grandchildren a little bit better. They certainly remember their own. And they'll usually know their birthdays. You know, that's why it's important to, when you have grandchildren, to have someone who takes care of that sort of thing. And Judy has these systems where she is able, I mean, when she's telling me how she remembers their birthdays, I get confused just hearing her system. But for her, types of memory that we have what we call long-term memory. As you get older, you tend to remember things pretty well. Not a lot of things, but things that happened to you when you were younger. Short term, that's where it gets a little bit tough. That's related to working or the kind of things that we do, the things we need to remember to get along through life. Most of us remember that we have to get up out of bed. Most of us remember that at some point we go to bed and that we eat somewhere in the middle of that and we use the restroom. Nobody has to tell you, at least most of you, as far as I know, you don't have to be told when to do those things. And we do know that it happens to some as they get older. We were talking about Dave's father-in-law. I just happened to see a commercial. I think it's a real estate commercial. Is it? Do you know if that's what it is? It's a real estate commercial. I don't think he did it that long ago. And he's 96 years old. He's still out there selling real estate. And of course, as you found out, he's gotten rather ill. And kind of hard to understand what's going to actually happen. But, you know, he's lived a very, very long and full life, and he's stayed with it longer than what most of us would even dream of being able to do. I wonder how his memory is. Just because you forget things doesn't mean you're a bad person. There are things that you ought to remember. If you're married, you need to remember your wife's birthday. You have to at least write it on the calendar. Anniversaries are always good. Just things that are good to remember. So memories are things that are useful to us because we were made with brains to where, you know, I'm not just walking into this building and then that's who I am, what I see here for today. I have all this stuff that's happened to me, as same as with you. And some of it is really great to remember. And it's sometimes really awful to forget. And it does make you ashamed. But most of us, if you ask people, do you have a good memory? Well, they'll usually say that they think they do. I have trouble with names, that sort of thing. But again, I'll just say the name thing. It's not that you're bad with names if you can't remember someone's name. Again, I mean, I don't walk into a family reunion with the Hilburns and look at, you know, someone's grandchild and know their name. Even feel bad about it that I don't know their names because I'm not around them to get to know them that way. But there are other people who are close to me. That's why I try my best to learn members' names, and because I know I'm going to be refreshed in that, because hopefully we're going to see one another and we're going to interact. But here's the reality. This is one of the frustrations that Solomon had as he looked back on life, trying to make sense of it all. He says, there's no remembrance of earlier things. In other words, a lot of things you just forget. And also the latter things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. In other words, you're not going to remember most people and most things that happen in your lifetime. And most of the people that you know, you're going to forget. And here's the reality. Most people are going to forget you. Now, people will say, oh, we'll never forget you. But those people aren't going to be around forever either. And eventually Eventually, there's going to come a time where people are not going to remember you. I've mentioned this before, watching old movies and seeing the people who are there. I have no idea the people who are in those movies. But I'll be sure that there was a time when somebody said, "Oh, look, there's Uncle Billy. He's in a movie. This is amazing. We're so proud of him." And now, no one knows who he is. I sure don't know who he is or she is. Because people forget, even people that are famous. I mean, even when, you know, you like certain types of music or certain bands or certain singers, eventually, even though they're great to you, they're going to be forgotten. Even though you would think, oh, that'll never happen. But I mean, there are a few people that I think will be at least in the memories of some for a long, long time. Various singers and people who have been part of bands that, but eventually they're just going to be in the past. We are individuals that are really called upon to remember. So don't just look at yourself and just excuse yourself because you got a lousy memory. God gave you a memory. Yeah, some people have better memories than others, but there are things that we are told to remember. In fact, when you look at the scriptures I mentioned this morning, look under the word remember in a concordance, which is where Bible passages are. It is amazing how many times we're told to remember things. You see, and I think the way you look at that and the way I look at that is I say, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I don't have a good memory." I mean, you wouldn't do that. That would be just like insulting God. He tells me to remember something, and I say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I do well with Bible things." Yeah. I don't think any of us would say that. We might sort of look at it in a way to where we go, "Boy, I need to work at that." It's not a matter of having all things done and memorized. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are things that you and I need to remember. The people of Israel, after they left the Egypt and went into the Exodus 2, the land of Canaan, when the whole thing started, that's when the Passover was begun, when it was instituted. And it's very involved. Most of you probably don't know all the things that happened on the Passover. I don't. But I know they did have a Passover. And the people of Israel were supposed to remember that too. "This will be a memorial to you." This is Moses speaking. He says, "And you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." You know what happened? They didn't do it. And I know the way I look at this, I think, do these people? These are the people that walked through the sea. God parts the sea. They saw these incredible plagues. How do you forget that? Well, they may not forget a lot of those things that happened. Generations, I know, they probably forgot most of it, but they forgot the reason why it was done. And God didn't want them to do it, so He had them observe it once a year. Understand that you often believe that these people were just really good at keeping laws and doing feasts and having sacrifices. I mean, they were brainless. They just kept doing those things. You've been given that impression that that's the way ritualistic people are. But these people weren't ritualistic. There were times when they just quit partaking of the Passover. Can you believe that? After all that happened, well, they were told by the who came along, "You've forgotten." They'd forgotten it and they'd quit doing it. Hezekiah put the whole thing back together because they quit observing it. Go figure that. It just doesn't make sense to me and you. We just think they're so good at doing all these things, even though, you know, they're just legalistic and all those things. Surely they're going to do those things, but here's the reality. These people weren't so legalistic that they just kept doing things. Sometimes they didn't go through the motions. But they just forgot all about it and didn't even do it. Can you imagine that? It's very difficult for me to imagine. We are told to remind ourselves of who God is and how He relates to Abraham. Talking about, it says, "Remember His wonders which He has done, His marvels and the judgments of God's mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the one." In other words, those who went before you. Don't forget the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Don't forget the individuals, because in order for you to be able to do what, in order for you to be able to be that kind of person that God wants you to be, you need to do what? There's certain things for you to remember. Why do we talk about what happened in Genesis chapter 12? Why do we constantly remind us of that promise? Because God wants us to remember, and He reminds them as well. So how do we find out, how do we get to these points where we're going to remember it? Well, you know, we go to God's Word. That's the only way I know how. You may have a relative who's good at telling stories, and they may tell you about it, but where you're going to find the truth, what it actually was, you're going to get it from God's Word. Same thing over here in trying to figure out ways to deal with disappointment. How many of you are disappointed with God? I mean, come on. You won't admit to it, but you certainly are disappointed in the circumstances that are a part of God's Word. Let's just call it that. It won't make you say you're disappointed with God. But you see, that way, you're disappointed with God. He says, this is my grief, that the right hand of the Most High has changed. In other words, you follow the text, you used to care about us, but you don't care about us any longer. Well, we know, you see, because God, He's the one who remembers everything. He knows, but that was the way He was feeling. See, you start feeling that way every once in a while. But same with me. So, here's to cure himself of his memory problem. Or, cure himself of the fact that he thinks God has forgotten him. I remember the deeds of the Lord. Sure, I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. Where will we find these things to remember, I say, in God's Word? So, these are things we're told to remember. I hope that makes pretty good sense to you. There were people, even at the time of Jesus, who didn't believe in Him. And they remembered some of the things that Jesus said. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. And they said, sir, we remember that when He was still alive, that the deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again. I've often wondered about, I mean, because the apostles were in such emotional quagmire at this time, and they seemed to not really take this as seriously. I mean, these people thought maybe that somebody was going to steal the body. That's their concern. So, like they were believers, but they were paying attention. And so, even the opposition noticed his words. Even his and maybe some of these individuals, I suspect, probably is the way it worked. These people actually were converted to Christ because they started believing that the way this whole thing all turned out, this one that disappeared from the grave was not stolen from the grave, and he certainly was eventually seen by people after he had been risen from the dead. But you see, you can't remember what you don't know, and for most of us, we forget a lot of what we do know. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, Alzheimer's is one of those things where you look at individuals and you're never really quite sure what they remember. They certainly don't do well with the immediate things. And it's kind of a heartbreaking thing. Most of you know I have a mom who just turned 90, and she still pleasant to be around, but she just has no memories of her life. Someone, you know, who made such a big deal out of, you know, events and, you know, photos all over every wall in her living room. And if she went to see those now, she wouldn't know who they would be. That's a sad thing, isn't it? So, if you still have a memory, be thankful and don't just give in to it. Please don't. I mean, all of us struggle with this in one way or another. We notice as we get older that we're not what? That we are not remembering things like we used to. But just don't give up. Don't give up. Because it's a terrible thing. Once you lose your memories, you are useful to God in some way that I don't understand. But at the same time, you pretty much lost your life. And it's a very sad thing to see. So you can remember stuff right now. And you can probably even learn new things to remember. If you can do it, be thankful for that. The people of Israel were supposed to remember when they crossed over the Jordan, when they finally made it into the land of Canaan. And they were supposed to find, they were told the way they were going to remember. Take for yourselves, this is verse 2, 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So we're going to put it there in that particular area staying, and you know, maybe the little kids weren't really paying a whole lot of attention, and they'll say, boy, look at that. Look at those rocks piled up like that. Look at those stones. What's that all about, Mama? What's all that all about, Daddy? And so they say, look, this is for us to remember that God took us from Egypt, helped us to get across that river, miraculously, mind you, another parting of water. And he wants us to remember that. You see how important it is to you? What it should be, you know, your memory ought to be pretty important. And it gets more and more important to me. Because as I observe my mom, I notice the heartbreak of her and thousands of individuals. And, of course, I don't think my mom's heart is broken. I don't think she's really capable of that right now. But it's hard for all of us who have experienced it. And just about everybody here has somebody in their family that's there and has experienced it. If you got a memory now, use it. Don't dismiss it as something, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not very good at bowling. Or I'm not very good at playing Monopoly. Oh, I'm not very good at remembering things. This is something that is the essence of who you are. And God calls upon you to remember. That's why places or things like Memorial Day, even though it's not religious holiday, it's a secular one. You know, people know it's good to remember these things. And God gave us the ability to remember. Remember when Jesus was there at the what they call the Last Supper, he had taken some bread and given thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. What? Do this in remembrance of me. I know you can remember. I expect you to remember. And of course, it's implied in the same thing about the fruit of the vine. But it's all about remembering. You have some people can't run fast. And some people can't remember things well. But you can still, if you can't run fast, you can still, if you're blessed, you can still get to another place crawling or walking or something. You still got a memory. It's a blessing of God. And it's what keeps you in touch with the reality that is your life. And then, of course, thinking about the fact that I'm just not going to be known. In two generations, nobody's going to know who I was. And it's the same with you. Your grandchildren's children will not know who you are. Now, I'm just kind of going by my own experience. I've seen a few pictures of my grandmother's grandma and grandfather, but, you know, it's just that classic old photo. And, but it's so far, I'm so far removed from that I don't remember them. Because that's the way it is. And it's a sad thing. Because, you know, we have people who are so close to us, and our mothers and our fathers and our children, and the thought of not remembering who they are is just devastating. But it is what happens. And then again, they forget who I am. And that's what Solomon... I mean, that bugged Solomon, and I don't blame it for bugging him. People live a life, they make an imprint, and what happens? They die, and nobody cares. Nobody remembers. Well, God doesn't forget. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be ready. Repents for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And God knows all those things. So he said, this is why we go out and we teach people. Because God has a perfect memory. But he goes on to say, Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that all, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all. See, that's the other thing. God remembers all your sins, but he has provided a way for you and me to know that even though he knows all these things, you know, you're going to have people in your life, you're going to do things wrong to them, maybe things you don't even know you've done wrong to them. You're going to have offended them, whatever it may be, and they're not going to forget. And they may not even try to forget. But God can do that. He says he's going to do it, and that was the great draw of the new covenant. He says, I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. This is going to be the difference. Remember, the essence of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, was we keep reminding people that they're sinners. Jesus comes along, and what he does is that he provides for us forgiveness, and as he says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That means he can completely forgive you. Now, that's really at the core of our relationship with God. Most of us all get this, you know, without God forgetting these things in the sense that he's willing to put them aside. You know, we're lost. We're lost in our relationship with God. But he promises that we don't have to be hung out on the fact that God knows everything that I did because the promise of God is that I am going to be forgiven. That's why a person should become a Christian. What a beautiful thing. So, as I begin to bring this to a close, I just ask you to watch what you remember and how you use your memory. Sometimes we just live in the past. For different reasons. We were growing up, it was a simpler world. I pointed out again this morning that just about every country song is about what it was like growing up. Down there by the pond and the dirt road and the cute little chicks, you know, in their jeans that are cut off and all these things. Oh, that was great, boy. That was meant to be real country. You know, and the person's not, he's not living, she's not living that way. It's just this reflection of those things. With the idea that, boy, wasn't it sweet back then? Well, it probably was in many, many ways. However, you can't live back there. You and I have to live where we are right now. And so the reason why we do that sometimes is we're so frustrated with the present. We're discouraged maybe with the state of our own lives and with the country and all things that we can worry about and all the things that we can be upset about. And then we just want to kind of go back to what we think was a greater and better time. And it probably was in some ways, but so what? That's not the point. If we dwell on the past, you keep remembering that, it often creates a dissatisfaction with the present. You know, if it was so good back then, you know, I mean, you know, the simple way of looking at this is, you know, you grow up and the music that you listen to when you're growing up, you think that's the best music there ever was. And you yearn to hear that kind of music. And then you talk to your grandchildren about it. I mean, if you've got the nerve to bring it up, you know, with the hope that it's going to even mean anything to them. And they don't even know who you're talking about. And you know what? For the most part, they don't care. I mean, you know, that's your life, Grandpa, not my life.
So I have to be willing
to realize that maybe I like to live in the past, but I can't drag everybody else back there with me into this little fantasy world. And maybe not all of it great, but most of it, you know, I look at even the bad things and I say, hey, that wasn't so bad. Maybe a better person, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to have memories that I utilize to help me to function well in the present. And so that's why I call these hopeful memories. You know, don't think about the things that were terrible. Think about the things that gave you hope for the future. And don't dwell on those things. But realize that what happens when you're always thinking about the past and how great it was and the church was this and the church was that and all those kinds of things, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, what you have just does not even seem like something that you could even enjoy. And so then what does that do? does is that you're looking to the future. You're thinking, well, if it's bad now, what's it going to be like? That's a pretty lousy way to go through life. And it's totally unproductive. So memory is a great thing, but realize what to do. Categorize your memories and realize that there are certain memories that are not helpful to you. They're just, I won't call it destructive, but they don't help you to live the days in which you're living. And they don't help you to have an a view of the future that's very optimistic. So, I have a great blessing in that I know that God will always know everything about me. And sometimes that bothers me a lot. But through Jesus, all that's about me that's not good for God and not good for His kingdom, they can be forgiven. And so, as it was stated by many writers of the Old Testament, a plea to God, please remember us. And I mean, it wasn't a matter of knowing who they are, because God certainly knows everything, but don't turn your back on us was what they were saying. And I know that God will never do that. And you can know that too. So through Jesus, what I do know is this, is that all that I want God to remember me about is going to be resolved in what Jesus did for me. Doesn't necessarily take away the damage that I've done or the damage that you've done. And so we think then that the promise is, as we face God with the instruction that we learn of in 2 Corinthians 5, we know that what He's going to remember is what He's not going to remember. He will not remember my sins any longer. And what a great thing that is to take through life and remember that God will never forget who you are in Jesus. So we're all amassing a lot of different memories. Some of them make us happy. Some of them make us very sad. Some of them make us angry. Some of them are very challenging. Try to sort through the ones that are not helping you in any way other than just keeping you mad or keeping you irritated. Those aren't good memories. Those aren't memories. To believe in Jesus and remember who He is, that's the most hopeful thing that you can do. It's the most hopeful memory that you or I can have. And what a blessing to live like that. Memories. Be thankful if you got one and that's functioning. Don't take it for granted. It may not be there forever. Be thankful for what you can know about your life now and the future to come. And don't forget that. Thank you.